Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah. Let's thank God for the worship. Yeah, let's thank God for the worship. And thank the worship team. Thank all of us, those who worship. The children are not here, but I could hear the children's voices. Maybe because I was in front. Oh, okay. There were somewhere behind here. But it is very good to worship God. Eh? It is very good to worship Him. We are also happy to, as a family, yesterday there was some recounting of the things God has done in the year. And part of the family was saying there were some bad things. And others are saying, no, but let's concentrate on the good thing. And one of our daughters said for her, what tops the list is that her dad survived death. Eh? He was, those of you who are here, you remember how he got very sick. And Minister Sam came here and testified and said he was going. I was not around by the way I had traveled. Eh? So we thank God for life, that we are alive. But also, let's clap for my husband. He's very smart. The shirt. I'm not the one who bought the shirt. And it is by... Okay, I'm supposed to clap, yes. He's smart, but we also thank God for Idane, the Balos workshop. Yeah, that is courtesy of them. Eh? Again, the gift of excellence. Eh? Yeah. Yeah, actually, that was the way I was getting to, eh? Through my husband. Yeah. Okay, so here, today I'm here. Eh? Yeah, I'm here. And let's see. For the last 3 weeks or so, a month, we have been talking about the Great Commission. Eh? We have been talking about the Great Commission, the instructions that God left us with when he was going. And why is it so? Because we are Christ for the nations. As Last Adam Tabernacle, we are here to take Christ to the nations. And we were reminded in Matthew chapter 28. I think now all of us know this instruction, eh? Yeah, you don't? You should know the instruction, eh? Pastor Joan, who was here, told us that this is non-negotiable, eh? It's an instruction God left us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the reason we go out, yeah, to the nations. We go out to preach the good news, the gospel of Christ. And we are told why. Why is that? When Pastor Joan was preaching, she summarized it and said there was a problem, yeah? The problem of sin. Yeah, that we all, while we are yet sinners, Jesus Christ came from heaven, came down and died for us on the cross, yeah? He's the only one. There's no other person, yeah? Who has ever died to take away our sins, yeah? And he did not only die, but he rose again. And that is also a very important thing. And because he rose again, yeah, our response should be to believe in him. And I hope all of us here have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, to believe in him. And when we believe in him, we shall not die, but we shall have eternal life. So as we go and reach others, and we are taught how we should reach others by sharing God's love, by being living examples, Mark excelling, eh, and getting that award of the most helpful person. Yeah, already he has gone like 90% in preaching God's word. Yeah, when he says you need to be kind, you need to be helpful, he has lived it. He has demonstrated it. And the first reason, therefore, as we go out and reach out, we have heard that we reach out because, not of ourselves, but because of John 3:16-17. And we can turn there for God. You can all read it. I think most of us know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeah? Jesus came to save the world. Yeah? And the world, he means the world, the whole world, where the wars are happening. The most sinful person you think is on earth, he actually came for that. Eh? And that is his heart, eh? That he loved us before we loved him, that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that when we believe in him, we shall not perish and not have eternal life. We shall not perish but have everlasting life. But verse 17 says that he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Yeah, the end result of sharing the word of God is not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Yeah. So as we go out and share God's word, we should remember what God's heart is. It is not to condemn the world. It is that through the world they might be saved. Yeah, it is very important because sometimes you get lost. Yeah, you go with the lenses of, not really condemnation, but the sin maybe is in front of you, and you forget that you're actually going out to point these people back to Jesus. And we have heard around that. Today I want to talk about one of the other things, and which I think is also part of God's heart of saving the world, and that is that to seek, and he came to seek and save that which was lost. Yeah. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 to 11. Okay, in chapter 18 in Matthew, you'll go back and read the beginning. But it set off by him being asked by one of his disciples. Jesus was asked by one of his disciples, who the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is this? And he went on to tell them about the little children. And unless we humble ourselves like children, we can never enter the kingdom of God. And you'll read the rest. So when we get now to verse 10, Jesus says that, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And then in verse 11, he says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So yes, Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that through the world will be saved. But he also came that to save that which was lost. Yeah? Has anyone ever told you that you're lost? Eh? Yeah. That ngo buzi, eh? You're lost. Yeah? So even lost can start from that. You can get lost from church, get lost from your post, eh? Where you're supposed to be. Eh? You can generally get what? Lost in the things of this world. But you can also be lost, yeah? In terms of not knowing God. So lost has all those dimensions, the dimensions of when someone meets you and says, you're lost. I'm not seeing you, what's happening? All those dimensions, Jesus came to save that which was lost. And in the Bible, of course, we have an example of someone who was like that, eh? And we are going to read there. Luke. Okay, maybe before we go to Luke. Sorry, before we go to Luke. Matthew, just there again, Matthew 18, 12 to 14. Okay, let's go to Luke. Sorry. Luke chapter 19. Verse 1 to 10. Most of us know this story, but we shall read it. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was what? And he was also what? A tax collector. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd. So he was rich, he had money, tax collector, but he had some things not working out. He could, because of the crowd, because of his short what? Stature. So this rich man, the tax collector, by the way, he was a chief tax collector. Maybe he was, what was he, the commission general, like we have of URA, very rich, eh? He's known, by the way, when you're rich, it is not declaring richness on yourself. People see you have the money, you have the beauty. So he was rich, but let's see how this rich man is behaving, eh? In those days, he ran ahead. First of all, he ran. Do rich men run? I don't know. He ran and climbed into a sycamore tree, eh, to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a what? A sinner. Yeah? Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. He ran, climbed a sycamore tree and all that, and Jesus recognized that. And I'm sharing this so that we see the heart of Jesus, eh? So that we begin to see how Jesus looks at the lost, how he looks at sinners. Eh? Jesus was focused on Zacchaeus, and he told him to come down, but there are people, I think it was the Pharisees and the rest, who were complained, eh, that how can he be a guest with a man who is a sinner? Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And I, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. When he came face to face with Jesus, he already started, eh, saying, for me, I've done some things, but I'm ready. Eh? Before even Jesus just told him to come down, eh, to his house. Eh? But that light of God already, I think, was able to permeate him. And he said, I will restore fourfold, eh, that which... And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. So that is an example of what was lost, eh, in the story of Zacchaeus. A rich man has everything for him, a tax collector. Other people were seeing him as a sinner, yeah? And they were wondering what business Jesus had, having being a guest of a sinner. But those are the people Jesus came to save, yeah? And so he came to seek and save that which was lost. Then also in Luke chapter 15, before Luke chapter 19, Jesus again was hanging out with the likes of Zacchaeus. Eh? I don't know why there's a way the Bible, when you read the Bible, tax collectors go hand in hand with sinners. Eh? And he then, every time, I don't know what. So, even now, people are saying, even now, it's not me, it's the front bench, eh? Here. Yeah, yeah. Then all the tax collectors and all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, yeah? To Jesus. Jesus had been preaching. And so Luke chapter 15, these very sinners, so-called sinners, yeah? And you can right now put a picture in your head that people you think, eh? But we know they are, eh? They are rogues, they are what? Eh? Those are the people who came to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes again complained. Eh? How many of you scribe? Eh? You know the scriptures, you scribe the scriptures. And then they said, oh, you're serving in church or you're ministering. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Yeah? Yeah? He's receiving these sinners and he eats with them. But remember, we have read that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. So for him, he was doing what he came to do. And people are complaining, eh? Why are you receiving sinners and why are you even eating with them? And he spoke again this parable. And this, we are going to read, there are three, Luke chapter 15 has three parables in one, eh? But they are all to emphasize what Jesus came to do in terms of seeking the lost. And the first parable is about the parable of, some of you in your Bible says the parable of the lost sheep, eh? So Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 7, we are now at verse 4. And Jesus starts, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Have you ever seen a father carrying a child on the shoulders? Yeah? There's something about that picture. They're walking, maybe when they are tired or they want them to see something. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So tell your neighbor, if you're just, Jesus is not seeking you today. Eh? Yeah. Jesus is not seeking you. Eh? He's seeking the what? The lost. Eh? He's seeking the lost. Eh? Yeah, his heartbeat. Eh? Jesus is happy that you have come to him and what, but his heartbeat remains his focus is the lost. Eh? The lost. And I was reading about sheep. Eh? You've heard in Lugana how they say embuzi. Eh? When they tell you oli embuzi, eh? There's a way it sounds that you're wandering, you're going all over the place. But when I was reading about sheep, it said that actually sheep often get lost because they tend to wander away, explore, and all that. So actually, shepherds, when a shepherd would have all their sheep at the end of the day, it was not an easy, it was quite something. So here you have 100 sheep, but just one, just one wanders away. And you'd have expected that the shepherd would say, let's leave that one. I also read that sheep tend to wait to be found. Isn't that amazing? Eh? Yeah, they go and wait to be found wherever they are. So when you read about that, you understand the context of this parable. That what, first of all, for a man to leave the 99 to go out for one, that means that everyone is unique, yeah? And when Jesus is coming to save, and he came to save that which was lost, he comes for the whole world, but then he comes for individuals. Eh? So have you wandered away? You may be here and you've wandered away from the path. Yeah, you're on your way to heaven, but maybe you're going off the path. You have wandered. You're lost. You're officially actually lost. Yeah, and you're waiting to be found. Eh? I won't ask you to tell your neighbor, but tell yourself that if you're in that position, Jesus came for you and Jesus will find you. And when Jesus finds you, he says that he will come home, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Yeah. So part of us going out to share the gospel of Christ, to save the lost, or to find the lost, that which was lost, sometimes it actually begins in our homes, in our house, in the church. Eh? We may be coming here Sunday in, Sunday out, but actually some of us are lost. Yeah, we are lost because we have wandered off. The cares of this world have taken us. We are tired. Things are not working out for us. But if you know someone who is lost and you're not lost because Jesus did not come for the just or those who have already repented, then yours is to work with Jesus to go and reach out to that one who is lost. And if you're here and you're lost, it matters that you're found, yeah? It really matters that you're found. You have not been written off. And when you are found, yeah, it says that likewise there is more joy in heaven over you who was lost than the 100 or the 99 who have been worshiping God, serving him, ministering to him. There is more joy over you who is lost and who repents than over the 99. So I hope we are encouraged to go out and seek those who are lost, starting from those who are told as you're lost, eh? In the true sense of the word lost, to those also who are lost. By the way, when someone gets lost, don't take it for granted that they are busy, they are wild. Eh? If someone stops doing the things that they were doing before, take, they may have actually wandered off, eh? And they are lost, and now they are stuck, and they can't find their way home, yeah? Like that ship, and they need to come back. So as we reach out to the heathen, those who are actual sinners, like Zacchaeus, the rich, and all that, let us reach out to those among us who are lost. The other parable is the parable of the lost coin. So Jesus then says, okay, in case you haven't understood the one of the lost sheep, because for you, you don't deal with sheep. Let's talk about the woman. Eh? Let's talk about the woman. So verse 8 to 10. Oh, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We sang a song here over 1,000 hallelujahs, eh? Those 1,000 hallelujahs over the throne of God, day and night, also include that one when you get that lost coin, eh? Now, I read that there was a garland that was worn by women which had 10 coins, eh? Or need silver coins. So if one would get lost, eh? It is like maybe losing a battle or something. There is a way it wasn't complete, and the woman would go to look for it. But also, we know a coin. I've ever lost a ring, yeah? I lost a ring. And I really did almost what it says here. You sweep, you look for it, but I did not find the ring. Eh? So when you lose a coin, eh, it is really a small thing to lose. But see how the coin is found by this woman. Eh? It says, does not light a lamp. Yeah. So you light a lamp. A way to find this silver coin, valuable. By the way, it being a silver coin is valuable. So even when someone is lost, to God, they are still a valuable soul. Yeah, they are still a valuable soul. And you find them, you light a lamp. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5, I think it's verse 16, it says that, let your light shine. Yeah. Oh, that the world may see, yeah, your good deeds. And before that, it's talking about no one lights a lamp and a candle and puts it under a bow. So let us light our lamps, eh? Let us sweep the houses, get rid of all that is unclean, and then we search carefully. Seeking and seeking, when you go out to seek the lost, and I think also it was in the parable of the sheep, where it says you go after, eh? When you go after something, you're pursuing it, you're seeking, it's not a one-time thing, eh? You're searching, you're seeking, eh? And you don't just seek anyhow, you search carefully until you find it, yeah? Until you find it. Let us not grow weary of seeking out that which was lost, of seeking out those who are lost. Let us search carefully, yeah? Part of it may mean what we are told. You need to know the person who is lost, yeah? You need to find them where they are, yeah? You have to do some research, yeah? Or seek out to them, eh? And prepare yourself so that you can actually find them. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And again, here we see rejoicing. Eh? There's always rejoicing. There's always gladness when that which was lost is found. And then, of course, the parable that we know a lot, the parable of the prodigal son. Now, what is different in the other two, what you see? Okay, the sheep, of course, wandered away by itself. Also, the coin, you can't say, I don't know if you can say a coin got lost by itself. Eh? Yeah, you can't really say that. But in this case, this story is a bit different. We know it and it's long, but anyway. Here is a man, he has two sons. Luke chapter 15, 11, it goes on to 32. I'll go through the different bits of it. The younger one says to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And the father divides it. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Eh? Wasteful life, he wasted himself. And when he had spent everything, there arose a famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Anyway, he ends up in the pigsty, and he's feeding on what the pigs feed on. That's how desperate he became, eh? And because no one gave him anything. But after some time, he came to himself and said, wait a minute, eh? How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I'm here perishing with anger. Let me arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So, even when you're lost sometimes, God may convict you, yeah? And I want you to know that you can actually arise, eh? And come back, eh? You can come back to that place, eh? Of relationship with God and come back and you can repent, yeah? But let us see. Yes, you may not be worthy to be called your son, but let us see how the prodigal son was. And I know we know this story, but we shall still go through it. He arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. But how did his father see him? It means he was waiting for. It means he was what? Waiting for him. We should always, that is what it means to seek and search that which was lost. You're always waiting. You're always looking out. You're always seeking that you're able to see afar off that this lost person is drawing near. Have you ever been in a, I think years back when I studied, my master's in the UK and there was an Anglican church. But you know the churches are empty, yeah? It's a cathedral, but we are very few. The Anglicans, we are no longer using it, so now it was the Pentecostals who were using that church. So this church, I think the first shock I got, that people would come outside, like before LAT begins, you first smoke, yeah? People are smoking their cigars, I was like, eh! You come with your Ugandan version of Christianity. I'm like, have I come to... They smoke, then you're like, okay. Then they enter, eh? Yeah, they have come. Yeah, the lost have come, eh? But anyway, so they come. Then you sit. So one time I'm seated, and then this drunkard guy just comes and sits next to me. I said, okay, this is the true gospel. Eh? And so from afar off, I just give you this image that sometimes people come like that. Eh? They may come to church scared, eh? Drawing off. They come, they sit somewhere there, or they come in your midst, eh? And they are like that. But we should be able to see them from what? Afar off. We shouldn't wait for them to come and give a testimony. Praise God, praise Him, I had a dream. Eh? Or singing the worship. We should be, ask God to give us that heart that can easily seek and see those who are lost. They may not come smoking. They may not come ragged like those people that you see them facially. They may come dressed well, eh? Smartly dressed, but when they are actually lost. So may God help us, yeah? Be able, like this father, to see from afar off, eh? That which is. So they are already coming with a repentant heart. Remember, they have already risen saying, let me go back, eh? Yeah? It's long since I went to church, eh? Let me try. Let me go back, eh? I had left these things of church. I have been beaten by church. Buffet pastors took my money. I don't know, many things, eh? Bad things were done to me, but let me go back. So when they come back, we should be like that father who saw him, had compassion, and ran. We should run, yeah? I don't know what that running means, eh? Fell on his neck and kissed him and embraced him, eh? And if someone does that, eh? You don't even have to say much, eh? You just know that you have been accepted. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, the father was like, for me, eh? I'm just happy, yeah, that you have come back and rejoicing. Let the party what? Begin. Let the party begin. Yeah, isn't this how parties begin? Bring out the best robe, eh? And put on, shine your shoes, put it on, eh? Put it on him, put a ring on him, eh? As in restore him, put sandals on him. Bring the best, everything, fattened calf here, kill it. Eh? I know Christmas is coming. Some of us are already calling. Eh? Is the cow okay? But the pig okay. That you've been prepared the chicken. Eh? Chicken orders for some people are coming in for Christmas, I hope. Eh? The Colombians, I hope they are coming. Let us eat and be merry. Eh? The party was there for this. But your son was dead and he's alive. Eh? Again, he was lost and he's found, and they began to be merry. The party what? Began. Eh? May God help us be able to see those who are lost, and when we see them, to reach out to them and help them before they even say, I'm not worthy. Yeah? That by the time they say, I'm not worthy, we have helped them along that journey. And then after that, let us celebrate and rejoice and be merry. Yeah? But then again, just like the tax collectors, there were Pharisees and scribes who were like, but you, Jesus, eh? Why are you hanging out with these sinners and eating with them? There was this son, he said, no. Eh? I have prayed. Eh? As I have prayed, I have fasted. I've done all these things. Me, I stayed. I didn't go. Eh? And the older son is in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. He's like, what am I missing? Eh? So he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, your brother, I can imagine how the servant must have been saying, can you believe it? Your brother has come. He must have been saying many things. Because he has received himself and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf. And he was angry. Verse 28, Luke 15, 28. And he will not go in. He refused to go in. But still, because of his father, he came out and pleaded with him. Eh? Even now, that one was lost a bit in another loss. He was lost in not recognizing the heart of the father. Yeah, and also forgetting what I'm going to read in terms of his position, eh? That he didn't have to be angry. Yeah, so the father told him and said, wait, look here, my son. Lo, these many years. Okay, so this is the son saying, these many years I have been serving you, I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, yet you never gave me a young goat. Eh? You never gave me, eh? Let's forget about fattened calves. Eh? For me, you never gave me even a young goat that I make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son, who was prodigal son, wasted everything, as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. We know what a harlot is. These are prostitutes. Yeah? Years back, I had an experience downtown. My husband had gone to meet someone on, was it Luhum Street? Eh? Guys, Luhum Street, someone there. Eh? It's long since I had gone. Then we had a primo. So he packs and goes to look for the person. Eh? I saw the prostitutes. They came on the car. Nelson hit it like this. I said, now. Eh? Then as men were walking up and down the street, I saw men being tortured. They would like call unto them, shh, come, almost grabbing their bags. Eh? And the poor guys had to keep entering. But there was this actual guy who was grabbed off the street into the building. Eh? I was like, okay. Eh? But those are the people Jesus what? Came for to seek. Eh? So this son was like that with such harlots, or worse. Yeah? Or worse. Eh? And you kill him, a fattened calf. And then the father said, son, my son, please. Son, you're always with me. You're always what? Yeah. Tell your neighbor that you're always with God. I see you. You're always with God, praying, reading your Bible, fasting, worshiping. I see you. All that God has is yours. You already arrived, please. We worshiped here. You're always worshiping me before the throne. With your white garments. We're always together. All I have is what? It is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. He was what? Dead, first. Walking, but dead. Yeah? Parting in the world, that is dead. Eh? You may have your friends who everything is going on for them. They are parting out, and these days on social media, you really like people are having the life, eh? The life, but they are actually lost, they are dead, yeah? And some of them are actually crying out, eh? They are just waiting for you from away far off to draw them in, yeah? And when you do that, don't get angry, eh? When there is rejoicing, because for you, you're always, and I'm saying this, assuming that you're walking with God, spending time with Him, reading your Bible, doing your best, yeah, to obey Him, and so we should always rejoice. So let us remember that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life, but also that He came to seek and save that which was lost. And therefore, when we are reaching out to people, we should know that they are lost. We should know that they are dead. But overall, we should know the Father's heart. That as you reach out to them, you are part of the pursuit of God. Every day, God is searching for this. Even today, God is searching for those who are lost. Yeah. Every time we come to church and we are shepherded, there's no such a word. Yeah, Eden is like, yeah, Auntie Christine, please don't embarrass me. Yeah, when you come to church, yeah, and there are good shepherds here, yeah, Pastor Moses comes, Pastor Joan comes, Minister Sam comes, they are coming. Part of what they are doing is actually to ensure that we remain on the path, yeah. And if once in a while we get our garments sewed, yeah, they bring us back, eh? Yeah, but also ourselves, we should also go out and reach out to those who were lost. Okay, so I'm going to, I think, end with Luke by reminding us when Jesus was starting His ministry. When Jesus was starting His ministry, Luke chapter 4, I think I didn't give you this. Mark, did I give you this? I didn't. Yeah. But knowing the man of excellence that you are, yeah, you never disappoint, yeah. Luke chapter 4, yeah, NKJV. Luke chapter 4, NKJV, verse 16. I'll start from 16, but then we'll go to verse. Okay. Verse 16 to 21. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, this is Jesus, he went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Yeah? So this is how Jesus started. Part of how he started out his ministry, he had a custom of going to, it says, to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he read, yeah? And he read and said that the Spirit of the Lord, he read from Isaiah, but then he was telling them actually what Isaiah was saying is me, the scripture is fulfilled, is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the what? To the poor. By the way, sometimes, maybe some of you, I don't know if you see how some children behave when they mingle with dirty children in a community, eh? Who haven't bathed, who are what, eh? Yeah, so maybe they don't have clothes, they are barefooted. Part of that is also the people Jesus came to reach out to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken hearted. When you're lost, yeah, you are actually broken, yeah? You're broken. You need to be put together, as we have read in the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. And also being brokenhearted can cause you to wander off, yeah? Because you're overwhelmed, yeah? Life has broken you. Everything is not going on well. And you can wonder, but such as those is what Jesus came to heal the broken-hearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. When we get saved, it is our spirits. We learned, it's our spirit and reminded, our spirits are born again. They are changed. We get new spirits. That's why sometimes someone may be born again, but it takes a long time for the outward manifestation of that to come out. They need to be discipled. They need to be taught. So liberty, being set free, liberty from the captives, also involved people being set free by being possessed by demons and all those things that torment them. Recovery to the sight. Yeah? You can be literally blind. We know Jesus healed the blind. And Jesus can heal you. But you can also be blind to spiritual. You don't see the way God sees. Liberty to those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So, as I finish today, I pray that this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing, that if you're brokenhearted, that the God will heal you. If you are captive, whatever has taken you captive, whatever idol, whatever thing that has taken you captive, and somehow you're lost and you're not able to have your relationship with God the way you should, that you may have liberty. I pray that sight will come back to the blind. Yeah, those who are blind. Yes, I have four eyes, they call them. Hasana. Yeah. May my sight also be restored. But those who are oppressed, we're in December. I don't know what your year has been like, but maybe along the way you were oppressed. You are oppressed in your business. You are oppressed in your family. You are oppressed, in your relationship. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And whatever you have lost, part of that, even as you're the son, you're the person who has served God, even that, Jesus came to seek it, and to restore it so that it is found. So may God restore, what the locusts have stolen away from you as a child of God. May God restore that, and may this be indeed the acceptable year of the Lord. Praise God. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.